do that again. We have Tom McKell, NASH's president, and she's going to be talking about RSHOM and the registration process. So I'll hold your questions at the end, and I'm going to give it to you, Tanya.
Okay. Well, NASH was formed by a group of professional homeopaths, meaning that they had no prior medical licenses, but they felt that they were at a high level of proficiency and that they wanted to bind together and support each other as other professional organizations were doing, such as chiropractors, doctors, nurses, etc. So it was formed by and for homeopaths. And over the years, it has changed a bit in focus, but that remains its fundamental mission, to be by and for homeopaths and to hold each other accountable for holding a higher standard, both professionally and ethically. And for many years, we handed over the bar for standards to the CCH, and they served us well, but they are not purely by and for homeopaths. So we wanted to go back to our original mission, our original bylaws, and allow homeopaths to come into our association directly without taking the CCH's test. We still think it's a good test. We still welcome anyone who has taken that test and passed it straight into our association. And we will be fully supportive of them as we are to members that have entered through other means. So we're here just to talk about our application process, the spirit in which it is going to be given and reviewed, and answer any questions that might be confusing for people. So we also have on the phone Laura Schultz, our registrar. She has been the registrar for quite a while and knows what goes on with that process and went through the process herself many years ago. And so I don't know if people emailed any questions in ahead of time or how we will open it up to questions, but we just wanted to be here to clarify things and answer any questions that people had. So, who has an idea of how to start the question process?
Are you going to start by describing the application process?
I'm sorry, say that again.
This is Carol Neary. I was wondering if you were going to first go through the application process and your expectations of applicants.
Walk you through it?
Yeah.
You know, excuse me, this is Anita Barsman in San Francisco. I have a contextual question first that would help me understand this and just listen.
Sure.
Could you explain what you mean about the CCH not being by and for homeopaths, please?
Well, it is by and for homeopaths. I misspoke there. I better retract that fast. So I apologize for saying it in that manner. They were meant in their inception to be a bar over which all homeopaths would step, whether they had a medical license, a chiropractic license, a acupuncture license. So people who already had professional associations could take their test to show that they were also proficient in homeopathy. At that time, NASH did not accept members that had another professional association representing them. I think we may have changed our policy now, and we do allow people who have some sort of license into NASH. But in its very beginning, it did not. If you already had a professional association that you could join, then we didn't really pursue your joining NASH. I think we've expanded our thinking there.
Well, I'm actually a physician, and I've taken the CCH, and I'm also a member of NASH, so there you go.
Right.
Good.
So I just maybe this will become clear as the conversation goes along, but when you talk about the new registration process for NASH, but I imagine usually this kind of thing comes out of a I don't know, a sort of a deficit, a perceived
exactly.
deficit or something. So I would just like to
it's not coming
better.
Out of a deficit. We have not found any deficit with CCH at all. And that's
mm-hmm.
not what we're trying to put out into the world, that CCH isn't good enough. That's not part of the conversation, because they are, and anyone who passes that test is immediately accepted as having passed a bar of competence. What we're saying is that people become homeopaths in many different ways. They have different learning styles. They have different practicing styles. And there are people out there that have been homeopaths for 10, 15, 20 years that don't want to take a test, but
mm-hmm.
can show that they are competent homeopaths.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who have learned through simply mentoring. They haven't been through a formal education program, and so
mm-hmm.
they can take a case, they can follow a case, they can interpret a case homeopathically, but they don't have a medical background and are intimidated by the heavy emphasis on the medical part of the test. People have all sorts of reasons why they don't want to go through the CCH. They're coming from another country. They've already passed all those tests. They've already done that, and they just want a professional association without having to take a test again. And so we're just allowing space for that. And it's this. Our thing is not new. We're just reopening what we have always had. We never completely closed it. We just stopped using it because CCH was performing that function. But when we found that there was dissatisfaction with having to go through the CCH process by some people, we felt they should still have an opportunity to join our association and show their competence. They would just be given a choice on how to do that.
Thank you.
This is Jason Eric Henneke, and I'm wondering, why was the decision made by the board rather than by the members? Why was this announced in this way rather than asking the members of NASH how they felt about the topic?
You would have preferred that the membership vote on whether or not we open our process again.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I would have preferred that there be some discussion about it before it comes out in this way, I guess.
Well, I don't know that I have a good answer. It wasn't required by the bylaws. This process was already in NASH bylaws and could have been going on all along. We had just chosen not to use it, and we were simply choosing to use it again. Maybe in future we should be more conscientious about speaking to our membership. But since it wasn't a bylaws change, we weren't required to ask the membership, and we had talked openly about it for about a year. So I don't know why we didn't send it out for a vote. We just didn't.
Well, many people on the board we're getting a lot of requests from different people from all over the place. And so that's why the board decided that it was time to go ahead and do it. And so, as Tanya said, it wasn't required to have a vote or discussion with the membership, because we had been hearing from so many people that this was something that was desired and wanted, and why weren't we doing it, that we finally went ahead and put everything in order to do it again.
So, Tanya or Laura, why don't you go through the history of the NASH and CCH and how the two organizations came about, and maybe just outline the registration process. And that might answer a lot of questions.
Do you want to do that, Laura? I think you probably know more than I do. All I remember was voting yes for the formation of CCH. I was already an RS home, and it was put out to our membership to vote whether or not we wanted to accept the CCH, and we voted yes.
Well, I remember
that's all I know about it.
I don't
yeah.
remember the years. I know when I went through the process way back when, it was you had a choice, and that's something that I had always thought was important, that you had a choice, a homeopath had a choice. They could either go the CHC route or they could go the NASH route, and one involved a test and one didn't. So a lot of people went through the getting their RSHOMs, and this was, I think, in the early 2000s, and before that, of course. But
early 90s. Yeah.
Right. And But I don't remember the year that we voted on that. I don't, and I should have had that. I didn't even think to look up the history before tonight's call. So that I'm not sure of. But it was voted on, and so at that point, and this is something, NASH never stopped accepting registered members. But it was a very lengthy process, and for a while there, anybody who was a homeopath in the United States had to go through the CHC. They'd simply had to do that. And again, I don't have the year on that. But I always thought it was very important to offer homeopaths a choice. You know, that there's more than one way to show somebody's competence, and many people don't like to test, you know, and that was something that I kept hearing over and over again. You know, it's like, well, I've been doing this for 20 years. I've been a homeopath. I've been successful. I have a good practice, and yet I can't become an RSHOM because I don't want to put myself through the testing again, and that the stress of all that and the time and the expense. So that doesn't really answer the question, and I simply don't have the history dates right now.
And it begs the question, this is Jason Eric again, it begs the question of whether or not that's a valid reason to not seek certification. To say I don't want to take a test.
Well, I think it does for many people. I mean, a lot of people do not test well, and that's something that needs to be respected. Testing is not the only way to prove competence. And finally, we're offering that again to the homeopathic public, you know, the homeopathic professionals, to have an alternative. And, you know, and you certainly can choose to go through the CHC. That's we don't have any qualms about that at all. But now there's also the choice. If you don't want to go that route, you have another route. You know, it's good to always have a choice.
And again, we felt it very important to be inclusive and to look at this from the point of view of a homeopath. I think other people are, like in Canada, they went for their system in Ontario, looking at it from the point of view of the consumer and consumer protection. And, of course, we're interested in consumers and consumer protection and providing good care for everyone. But we are a professional organization for homeopaths. And so, again, we're looking at this from the point of view of someone trying to go into practice who wants to be involved with other professionals and wants to have perhaps access to a legal fund should they speak out of turn or you know, someone should get upset with them and try to have some sort of legal action to get advice, have access to library, you know, all of the benefits that we offer our members. We want to expand the number of people that we can offer those benefits to.
This is Marcy Mearns in here in California, and I have a question regarding the reviewers for the cases that are to be submitted, the cases themselves. Do you have any set of qualifications for those who are going to be reviewing the 10 submitted cases?
Well, they need to be RS homes, of course. And so far, they would need to have either teaching experience or reviewing experience, you know, of work of homeopaths. So they need to have done something related to that before.
My concern stems from what appears to me to be the creation of a double set of review organizations and with the very limited resources that we have here in the profession. I just don't quite, I do understand that there are people who don't want to take an exam. Some people come from other countries and don't want to sit for the exam. But I would hate to see the high level of the standards that are upheld by the CHC somehow or another get lost in the shuffle. That is the reason I asked the question regarding who is going to be reviewing the 10 cases. Because while it may be at the beginning, everyone's got a CHC, at some point, that can deteriorate.
Right. Well, all I know is from my experience, I got my RS home first and then went and took the CHC exam for fun and just to be supportive of that organization and had no problem. I took the entire test in one day. I was finished before my time was up. It was an easy test. So I think NASH holds a high standard. If you can get into NASH, CHC is not that big a problem. So I really don't think we're lowering the bar.
In fact, that's always been something that NASH has been concerned about, raising the bar, you know, that maybe the CHC standards are quite high enough. And that's something we do discuss and certainly is foremost in our consideration.
Would you say again who is speaking, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Laura Schultz.
Thank you.
Laura, it's Kim Kalina.
Hi.
I want to just add to that I, too, I have a CCH and an RS home and A. Mm-hmm. I did not vote yes to accept CCH as RS home's bar. The many years ago that we did that, it was early 2000, I believe.
Okay.
And the reason for that is CHC standard is not as high as RS homes, and I had a real problem with that. And I have felt ever since that my RS home NA was diminished by having CHC be the standard rather than what used to be the standard. You know, having to submit 10 cases, cured cases, that are your own work, not just 5 cases, 6 months of follow-up after the last remedy that acted in a curative way. Those are not cured cases. You know, RS homes have to submit 10 cases. They're required to be in practice and have been experienced in practice before they can sit for that process. People are sitting for the CHC exam right out of school.
Yes.
I know many people who have written up cases to be what CHC wants them to be. And they're not actually their actual cases, and they've been adopted and made to look better in order to get through the CHC process. For me, the CHC process and when RS Home adopted CHC diluted my RS Home NA, and I, for one, am really happy to see that RS Home is reopening its process and having a higher standard, because in my opinion, it is a higher standard. When you have to submit 10 cases with four credentials. You have to give four references, two professional, two personal. People are checking on whether you know what you're doing as a homeopath. They're assessing you in a much deeper way than what the CHC process does. So for me, that's one of the main reasons I'm very supportive of this happening.
Well, thank you for saying that, and I hope that answers the previous person's questions and worries.
Yeah. It's Marcy here. Kim, thank you very much for clarifying all of that. I think you stated it very, very clearly. And I thank you again.
Okay. So I have a couple of issues that were emailed to me that I think I can address now. And it's one of the lines in the application process. It's case submission requirements. It says, case submissions must be the practitioner's original work, which we're talking about, with no input or guidance from a supervisor or other practitioner. So the RS home isn't something you get straight out of school. You actually go into practice a little bit before you apply for your RS home. So this is not the final exam for your education. It's a step beyond that. So when I was in school, you know, my last year of school, I started taking cases under the supervision of a mentor, and I continued doing that for almost 2 years after I was out of Pacific Academy. And not until I opened an office and took my own cases did I apply for my RS home. So people may be getting a little confused because we're slightly different from the CCH. Like Kim said, that's a test you can take straight out of school. But the RS home, you actually need to have a little bit of time under your belt, a little bit of thought, a little bit of walking on your own. So I hope that helps clear that up. Supervision is extremely important. All of us who have our RS homes, I'm sure, work with other professionals quite a bit and did a lot of supervised cases. But eventually, you need to be able to take and manage a case on your own, and that's what we want you to show us, that you're at that level of professionalism. Okay, do we have another question?
This is Susan Kramer. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Perhaps I'm not understanding the new process. My understanding was that you could have either the CCH or that you would meet the NASH requirements. Is that not correct?
That is correct. Yes. So if you want to, if your school covered all the subjects and you are able to pass the CCH as soon as you come out of school, we're still going to take you straight into the registered society. We're not making people with CCHs give us extra cases and undergo extra scrutiny. So we haven't changed that. That's still a direct route into NASH. If you choose not to take that route, then we have our guidelines for case submissions and the application guidelines on the website, and you can come in a different way.
I understand, and I am an RS home and a CCH both, but to me it seems as though this is a reduction in what the requirements are because it's providing a different route than simply CCH. It sounds like a reduction in what's required, and perhaps I'm not understanding that.
I don't believe so. I mean, we've talked about it already, about we actually think we have a higher bar. It might be slightly different, but you still have to take the anatomy and physiology class. You still have to be able to discuss materia medica and compare your remedies when you're showing us your cases and your thinking. So, you know, if you don't know your philosophy, you don't know your materia medica, and you don't know basic medical science, your cases are not going to pass. So, we're not lowering the bar as far as I can see. And several of us who are RS homes and CCHs were RS homes first and felt that the CCH test was very easy. And only a few of my students have chosen to take the CCH, but all of them passed it straight out of school. So I certainly didn't consider myself a competent home straight out of school. It was about 2.5 years later when I felt like, okay, I'm getting reasonably good at this.
Yes.
So,
I understand because I did practice for 10 years before I even thought to apply. So I didn't think I had experience. But I do want to just a comment, and that is I think that I, as a member, would have appreciated hearing about this before it was decided. And I think that many people would probably have supported it wholeheartedly if they'd heard it first. I understand that the board has been asked by many people about making these changes, but those people were perhaps outside of our organization, people who wanted to come in as opposed to people who already were members. Just a thought that
It was both, and yes, we hear you. You're not the only person to say we should have communicated better and more fully with the entire membership. So we're definitely all taking note of that because it seems that many people felt left out, and they would have liked to have participated in this decision making. So, yes, we hear you, and we'll certainly try to do better in the future.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Do we have another question? Comment, concern?
No, I think it's going, this is Aaron. I think it's going pretty good so far. One of the things that my mentor, Robert Fields, has always said is homeopathy gives more choices. So why wouldn't we want more choices in getting certified for homeopathy?
Yeah, we certainly want people to feel a sense of freedom. That's one of our very basic homeopathic principles, that health breeds freedom. That's how you know someone's getting healthier. They have more freedom in their life and in their physical self and in their spirit. So hopefully our reviving that choice will be taken that way, is that we want to support flexibility, freedom, and health.
And Aaron, I want to point out, this is Myra, because I want to make, I didn't quite hear you, but CCH is a certification process, but the NASH process is a registration process. So it's
gotcha.
It's not the same. And CCH is not a membership organization. Its purpose is certifying homeopaths.
And so, yes, we understand the membership's displeasure with us for for making a decision without consulting the membership, as we tout ourselves as a membership organization. So.
Hi, this is Anita Bargman. Excuse me, this is Anita Bargman in California again. Hi, Myra. I'm just trying to think this through. Of course, with the CCH, we have to, we're asked to show, I think it's 20 hours of continuing education credits every year. So although it's not a membership organization, it's an organization that maintains a kind of level of the certification. I'm just trying to put that in the context. I'm a relatively new member of NASH, so could you explain what, for current members of NASH, what sort of annual process there is for renewing our membership in NASH?
Yes, we also require the continuing education units.
How many?
It's 20.
Uh-huh.
And we allow self-reporting. We don't have the same strict rules on documentation of your hours that CCH does. We assume that our members are honest and sincere in their desire to grow as homeopaths and would not falsify or lie to us about their study. So, you know, if they name a conference that never happened, hopefully we will catch that. But you know, if they say that they've been teaching a study group an hour a month and they count those hours, we believe them.
Good. Good.
Anyone else?
This is Carol Neary, and in California. So I'm a little bothered because not about this, not about having Nash offering the RS Home credential again. I understand it's very high level designation and membership is a really wonderful thing. But nobody has mentioned something about, I don't know, I'm guessing 6 months ago, I was looking for it in my email. I received an email from the CHC saying that as of 2016, unless you went to a certain school, you couldn't qualify to take the CCH anymore. So that would mean that if unless you went to that particular school, you can't even qualify to take the CCH exam after this year. Does nobody else have that knowledge or opinion?
Yes, we do remember that email. And I don't know that that's moving ahead now that one of the schools has closed. So I think there's only one school that qualifies now.
Right.
And that was also why, you know, the teachers of the various schools around the country started to communicate to us. Because most of our schools are small and the teaching styles vary. So, you know, that we felt that proposition was very premature. Certainly we'd like to have strong, you know, schools with great curriculums similar enough that people can switch from school to school perhaps, et cetera. But that's a long way down the road. We want to strengthen our profession first. We want to build up our schools and the number of students that we have. A lot of schools aren't making it. So, yes, that was a big concern. And we felt okay. that you can learn to be a competent homeopath in many different ways.
Yeah, I agree with that. It just sounded like people who were making comments maybe were not aware of that change.
Well, since it hadn't been instituted yet, I don't know that that's quite relevant yet because it may or may not get instituted because that would really cut back on the number of people trying for the CCH.
Right.
If only one school was vetted.
It's Kim. Just to clarify, that change doesn't go into effect until 2018. It's not 2016.
Okay.
2016 is where it's an increase in clinical hours required. 2018 is when you must have gone to an ACHINA accredited school specifically.
Okay, thanks for clarifying
that. There are four other schools in the pipeline to be ACHINA certified, so...
There are, but some of them don't meet the qualifications, which Rick is well aware of, and they're trying to figure out how to get around.
Yeah.
Hi,
so Gina is working hard, but a lot of the stuff, I think, is premature. We don't have a strong enough community yet. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Hi, this is Lisa Harris. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm just a student so far of classical homeopathy, so I hope this isn't too juvenile of a question. If I'm going down the road of trying to, you know, achieve my CCH, and I too was discouraged by getting the news on, you know, accredited schools and then adding to the clinical hours because I have a full-time job and I'm trying to do this part-time, what would be my requirements for the RS Home versus the CCH?
Well, that is in the application.
Okay.
So you would need to just all the classes you take need to be documented. The hours you spend with your teachers need to be documented. So you can put it together over a longer period of time and in a less formal period of, you know, way. We still do require quite a few hours of study, and we hope that you do even more than what we require.
Yes.
But just start piling up your hours and your certificates of attendance and you know, the time that you're spending studying homeopathy and interacting mm-hmm. with other homeopaths and clients.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll review all that together.
Okay. And how do we get a recorded version of this call and get an application?
The application is on the website. And it's very, we tried to keep it fairly simple.
Mm-hmm.
Since I'm not very fast at pulling it up myself, but go to the NASH website. And Carlene, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Would you explain how they look at the requirements?
Yeah, at our website, which is homeopathy.org, under membership, when you go to registered membership, you'll see there is an application for CCH holders, and there's one now that's called RS Home Registration Application. And
okay.
That's the one we're talking about tonight.
Okay.
And it does have, I believe in the, if you received the announcements about this telecast tonight, there was a link to the guidelines for
okay.
the registration process that you can click on and print that out, and there's also a guidelines for the case submissions. And that's, it's also posted on the website under news,
mm-hmm.
so that everything that you've read in the telecast announcements is also on the website.
Yeah, I mean, I was just encouraged because, like I said, being discouraged by adding the 250 hours, and I only have 200 so far, so I'm having to cram in 300 prior to the change, you know, to be able to take my test in 2017. And then this was encouraging to be able to do something in the interim because I still want to get, you know, my CCH, but it seems like it's going to take forever and a day at this pace. Thank you. I appreciate
yeah.
your information.
This is Alice Nyler in Rhinebeck, New York. I have a question regarding one of the requirements, and it has to do with the references. So I was wondering if you could clarify a professional reference. Is that a teacher, a coach, a client?
Not a client, but sure. Teacher, mentor, someone who has seen you in action and knows a little bit about how you interact with your clients and how you
okay.
conduct yourself. Yeah.
And then the personal reference would just be someone who happens to know you personally.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So could be a professional reference, could be another homeopath in your town, someone with whom you share, you know, if you have a homeopathic association for your state, if you go to any of those meetings and know your colleagues, et cetera.
Okay.
Tanya, it's Kim Kawana. I had a question
yes.
of a clarification on one of the items. Somebody had asked me about it this afternoon, and I did send them to you guys, but number 3 under C for the registered members says at least 500 hours of training in classical homeopathy through recognized teachers, mentors, or a homeopathic school. Can you clarify what you mean by recognized teachers, mentors versus going through a homeopathic school?
Right. So some teachers are single teacher schools. So that's more like having a mentor, but maybe you're just sitting in someone's office. And, you know, I know I met someone who had become a homeopath by working in Maisie Panos's office in Ohio for 20 years and just picked it up through osmosis and seeing her cases and then finally went out on their own. So it doesn't necessarily mean that we know them personally and we've seen their school and this, that, and the other thing, but maybe they've put out a book. Maybe we can look at their website. You know, maybe we know something about them. We know that they're not teaching something totally wacky and weird. So that's a little bit fuzzy for some people. We don't have a list of who we have approved.
that may pose a problem at some point, but that was the best we could do at the time. We didn't want to make up a list.
No, that's totally understandable. So the question, I guess, would be, if someone was learning homeopathy through internship, which we all know is a really valid way to do it. Catherine Coulter talked for years about how that's the best way to become a homeopath. It
right.
sounds like if a goal of that person is to attain their RS Home NA, then it might it be a good idea for them to check in with NASH, with Laura or the registrar, about who they want to do that study with or they're planning to study with, to check and make sure that that's going to be an acceptable person to NASH.
I think an easy way to do that would be if their mentor would be willing to have a conversation with us for a few minutes, just so we can, you know, see if we're on the same wavelength. I don't know
Sounds
how
like
else that somebody that we'd never heard of and never seen, you know, because I know there's a lot of homeopaths out there that are all by themselves and they're still doing great work. But hopefully they would be willing just to say, hello, yes, I'm their mentor, and this is how I run my practice.
Got it. So really that would be the bar for someone, that their mentor is willing to have a conversation with NASH and discuss their own practice and what they're going to be teaching you.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks.
Of course, if their mentor is already an RS Home, then they don't have to worry about it. So if we can build our membership, then people will have more choices again there.
NASH also has member schools, but the student liaison program, so the students of those can interact and with the community and with each other, but these schools there's no certification process or registration process for our member schools. They are just schools that have a desire to be associated with NASH.
Yeah.
Okay, we have 11 minutes. Any other questions, comments, concerns?
I think what I'm going to do now, Tanya, if you think it's a good idea, I'm going to stop the recording, and then anyone who wanted to ask a question but not want to be recorded will have the opportunity, and we can continue our discussion. So just a minute while I do that.
Okay.